It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Good to see you once again. And hey, this week, kind of a refresher course on who is Daniel Pryor? Yeah. What makes him such a great Bible-based counselor? Yeah. You're going to go through all your stats. What kind of things do you do? Kind of a summary of your background here.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll talk a little bit about that because people always are a little bit curious as to, you know, what is Bible-based counseling? And, you know, one of the other things that I think people appreciate about hearing the person that they're going to be talking to is the person that's talking on the radio, because there are a lot of organizations and Christian-based organizations, and part of the pitch is we have many, many trained counselors. And people don't understand that the organization is not training those counselors. That the organization is a kind of a consortium. It's an inexpensive way to advertise, but they can't stand behind all of these people.
Yeah, we're not training you in counseling here at Krista Media.
Right.
You've got your own thing.
Yeah. And so for the people that are listening to the show, and some people, at times people call and ask, is there how many counselors in your organization? It's not an organization. It's just myself. So Bible-based counseling. I'm Bible-based counselor. Came up with that handle a little over 20 years ago.
Christian Counselors Forum. That's just
Christian
your
counselor. That's right.
Do you work with other counselors on that forum?
I'm always open to do that, but it hasn't worked out that way. Oh, okay. So I didn't put the apostrophe in. I don't know if I should have
Christian Counselors domain name
forum of Christian Counselors Forum is my own writings too. So a little bit of my background, and this is why I call it Bible-based counseling. It's kind of like if you're sending kids to a Christian school. And sometimes they have a math class or a science class, and it's not all Bible study. And a lot of times people are a little bit, they need a little explanation as to why is it Bible-based? Is it pastoral counseling? I've even had people say, well, I'm a little bit afraid to refer my husband or refer my son or daughter to you because they're, you know, I don't want the gospel kind of shoved down their throat or something.
Thump the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, because God says so.
Yeah, so this is Bible-based counseling. It's Bible-based in the same way that Christian education is Bible-based. It isn't Bible study, and it isn't pastoral counseling. It's counseling, mental health counseling, relational counseling, and these are tools that I've really made myself. I am a state licensed and master's level counselor, and that was through Chapman University in California. But the tools that I use are tools that I've really created myself and honed myself. And the reason it's Bible based is because that's my worldview. And
yeah,
that's
more worldview. I thought when you say Bible based counselor, you mean you approach counseling with a Christian worldview.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's informed by the Bible.
So a little bit about myself, real quickly here. You know, I grew up in the church and Christian education culture here in the area. Parents were Christians. Of course, anybody out there that has a Christian or was raised in a Christian family or is trying to raise a Christian family knows that that doesn't mean that it's all sanctified and that there's Christian raised in Christian homes have their streak of rebellion and can raise quite a bit of heck themselves. So I went through all of that when I was probably about 17 or 18, I by default kind of inherited a youth group. This was during the Jesus People movement back in the late 60s. And so I was on the fringe of that. And one thing led to another. And I started to lead a small singles group in a church here. And that's where I started to really get my toes wet in counseling. Not counseling per se, but you know the kids would come for advice and need some mentoring, and that's where
but you I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
you were perceived as somebody who could give advice.
Yeah, and I did enjoy that and enjoyed helping these kids along. Of course, they weren't much younger than I was at the time. Then, as far as higher education, of course, I got a bachelor's degree down at Evergreen State College. A lot of times, people are surprised about that.
Yeah, that's like deep. You know, I've seen a list of the top 10 most wacko out there. I mean, you know, very liberal schools in the country. It's like on the top 10.
Yeah.
And that's where you got your degree.
That's where I got my degree.
You must have, but you must have been kind of standing against the wind down there, swimming upstream, because you were a Christian.
Yeah, right? And there was a reason for that, too, because that was a period of time when I was trying to firm up my foundation. I was going through a period of time right then when I still had some doubts, and so I went there partly because I thought, you know, this will either blow my faith away or else I'll come out stronger. And one of my my final year there, one of the things that I did was I was a peer counselor because there was a counseling program there at the college. So I actually worked in the counseling department there as a peer counselor. And I also kept the statistics for the counseling office and kept some statistics on my own client, and found that after the year that I was there, eight out of 10 clients brought up religion or Christianity on their own without any prompting from myself. I even had a gal that came with depression, and she came a number of times and didn't say anything, and I was kind of pointing that out to her, that we don't really get anything done when you come here because you don't say anything. And then the first thing that she came out of her mouth was, if I could believe in Jesus, I wouldn't be depressed. So that was kind of, you know, to hear that at Evergreen State College, and for her to expect a counselor at Evergreen State College to have anything to say about that was, you know, pretty much a God thing. Mm. But so from that point on, I went into to work my way through graduate school. I went into vocational rehabilitation counseling.
Now, what does that mean?
I worked with L&I was the client, Labor and Industries was the client, and this was with injured workers, which is how I got part of my education. I was in construction before I got into counseling. I had always had an interest in counseling because my wife and I were in charge of a single adults group. We were pastoring a single adults group, and the age range there was, it was an older group. They were college age and went up to the age 40 or 40. Now today that doesn't sound very old because I think 45 is the new 25,
right?
Something like that. But so we had that going, and so I had that pastoral counseling experience, and then the vocational counseling. And then when I got my degree, I went right into doing an internship at a mental health organization down in Tacoma. And at that time, I did strictly family and child for about 5 years. So I saw a lot of children, a lot of broken families. And
working
then,
with children on their own, they just would
on their
parents
own
would drop them in, and you had the teddy bears and pillows and
all kinds of, and basketballs
and it was
you know what we called revolving door, because they didn't have to pay for the counseling, and so there wasn't really a lot of motivation to change.
Did you ever see anybody more than once?
Oh, I saw people,
every week. Okay, yeah. I would think when it's free, they would just come once in a while, or
no, they came because it was talk. A lot of times other benefits were dependent upon their if they were, like, for example, a lot of them were on medication, and they couldn't continue the program of medication without counseling, and vice versa. So there was a lot of that.
Court ordered type stuff?
A lot of that for some of them, and then a lot of it had to do with the schools, you know, weren't doing well in school, and so there was a lot of school visitation. I also worked, there was a part of Washington State mental institution that had like a small grade school off to the side for the kids that weren't getting along with teachers and kids at other schools, and so I worked a lot in that population too, and then, you know, you know, children of broken families, and so that was quite an experience. Then I hung up my own shingle, and the reason I kind of did that was that one of the first things I did is I got into kind of helping another counselor there working, teaching his a cut and paste cookie cutter anger management class for GUAs or government or GAUs, government assistance units, where if people wanted food stamps or bus passes or something like that, a lot of times they would have to go through some sorts of a sort of like an a, 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 continuing ed, but a lot of it was, you know, life skills. And so this anger management was something that I, and it wasn't a good course. And a lot of the people there had been through it several times, and it really didn't do anything except give them their food stamps. So that's where I got interested in starting to develop my own material.
So that didn't discourage you. I would think you kind of, that burned you out pretty fast doing that stuff. Well, but you must really enjoy this to work through a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of it came from my own life.
Don't want to be there.
A lot of it came from my own life experience, too. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I could do a better anger management program, and I have done a better one. And in fact, I'm looking at doing some seminars here later this year. People might be interested in that when it comes up. I'll announce that. But I hung up my own shingle, started the Christian Life or the Christian Counselors Forum. The articles that I used to be a hard copy that went out monthly, and I've been doing that for over 20 years. I was looking at that. So writing that had a mailing list of 250 pastors down in the Pierce County area, and then moved up here 12 years ago. Then I started, it was hard copy at first up here. Now it's on the internet, no more hard copy. And so that's been going for, over 20 years now. And again, as I talked about, just developing my own approach through all this.
Yeah, you developed kind of your own systems, different areas. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, a lot of it started with in the church. I became aware of the need for better counseling in the church. There was a Jay Adams product that people may approach that people may be familiar with, if the older people might have heard of that. And that was kind of like, you know, competent to counsel, and anybody can counsel. And as I looked at that program and the way it was being utilized in a lot of churches, and a lot of people were being hurt by that, it wasn't helping anyone on addictions, those kinds of things. Anyone with really severe chronic problems, depression, anxiety, it really wasn't able to help people.
Why not? What was the main weakness of it?
Well, the drive of it was that it's basically, studying the word, prayer, fellowship, and, you know, just, you know, come on, be strong, buck up. And part of the problem, too, was that maybe a trained counselor might be able to use that material, but the whole press of it was that anybody can use the material. But that wasn't true, because not everybody's wired to have that kind of patience with people that are chronically have chronic problems. You have to really hang in there with them, and you got to have a little bit more understanding than just being able to give them scripture verses to memorize.
Thump the Bible and just come on, snap out of it.
Yeah, and so I saw that, and then of course, as I said, you know, at Evergreen State College, I saw that there was a need there, even in the secular world. So that awareness, and then of course the as I said, the anger management program that I built myself, and then I began to recognize that anger management had to do with spiritual issues, and then it turned into life management. And then a whole system of what I call tools and handles that just to help people in lots of different aspects. People say, what's your speciality? And I really don't have one. There are some things that I'm probably, that I don't do as much of as I used to. We can talk about those in a bit. But I pretty much, I just kind of see mental health as having basically to do with anxiety and depression, and all of the, and anger, and all of the ways that manifests in our life. And that pretty much covers the gamut of it. So,
okay. Well, getting to know life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor this week, kind of his practice, what has led him into the field that he does. And you can tell he has a real passion for this subject. And you've been listening and go, yeah, I'd kind of like to maybe let him take a crack at my neurosis or my problem. Daniel would love to help you if you're listening today. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you also find all of these radio shows podcasts.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, getting to know Daniel Pryor once again this week, although you've been on the radio with us at least 3 years now, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's in our third year.
I think it's about three, sure.
And I think you maybe have done a show similar to this in the past, but it's a refresher course on what has led you into counseling, mm-hmm. your areas of expertise, kind of what kinds of people you see, the kinds of problems that you deal with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so let me just talk about the populations that I work with. This is... And there's actually quite a range of them. I'm thinking here. When I was in the mental health organization, my youngest client was 2 years old.
Mm,
now I'm not
really.
I'm not advertising to do that anymore. But and I think the oldest client that I've worked with, the oldest person I've worked with, has been in the mid 80s or upper 80s. Mm. So I kind of have worked with people across the life stages. Let me talk first a little bit about how I work with children, because one of the convictions I have about working with children is that that parents are the ones that should be the role models and the heroes in the children's life, and I think that a lot of child-centered counseling has really gone the wrong direction in taking parents more out of the picture. And I think that's confusing for the child.
So what does that look like? What do you mean taking the parents out of the picture?
Well, the counselor becomes too important. The counselor becomes the person with the advice and the person with the... Who knows better. Mm-hmm. When the children are really young, if there's a counselor that's regularly involved, the parents tend to kind of pull back, and rather than actually learn things and learn to do things themselves, they rely on the counselor to figure that out. You know, case in point, the 2-year-old child that I was supposed to be counseling, where it was just clearly a matter of a situation where a child had had a child. And I couldn't do anything with the 2-year-old. The 2-year-old was insecure because the mother was insecure, and so something like that just wasn't going to go anywhere. When I see a child, especially a young child, typically I want to get the parent more involved. And so I think the result of that is that I typically don't see a lot of young children. Mm. And the other thing is that the children want the parents to be the heroes, and so it's hard to bond with the child without trying to become the child's champion.
Mm-hmm.
Now the adolescent kids, that's a little different. Adolescent kids will come and they kind of. If they look at me as some sort of a coach or a mentor, that's the healthiest way. It's kind of an expensive coach or mentor, though. Kids are better served getting coaches or mentors from the church, from Boy Scouts or something like that. Again, they want their parents to have to really be the champions, and I try to encourage parents here, because if you don't win the heart of your child when the pre-adolescent and adolescent years, you're going to have difficulty having credibility when they get into the later adolescent years. So it's not easy, but it's what I emphasize. And so I work with adults, young adults. I bill myself as a counselor and a life coach, and a lot of times if I'm talking to high school kids or college age kids, it is more of a coaching and role model thing, and they tend not to stick around very long, because if they're in high school or college age, they probably rely on the input of their peer group more than adults. Again, they have adults in their life, for the most part, parents. It turns into kind of a coaching thing. Mm. And, as a coach, I'm not always around, not always in their life. It typically works out where they come and see me. Maybe they might start off weekly, but pretty soon it's, once every couple of weeks, and then they use the tools and they kind of move on. So if people bring high school kids or college age kids to a counselor, I don't think you can expect the child to just settle in and see the counselor. there's not much to motivate a young person to see a counselor weekly over a long period of time, is what I'm saying. Sure. They tend to be selective in who they listen to and how they use the information. So the counselor tries to slip some information in there and again, giving the, you know, kind of coaching the parents along too. College age kids, it's a little more, they're a little more suited for counseling, certainly than young married couples and young individuals. I do an awful lot of work with them, and I see a lot of people with injured past. By this time, they're probably out on their own, or trying to get out on their own, trying to distance between their parents and trying to, you know, figure some things out in life. By this time, they probably have, you know, significant anxiety, depression from things. And I see a lot of young people, college age and just and young adult people with anxiety and depression or some of the neuroses that are that really stem from that, obsessive compulsive,
I think addiction issues,
issues, a lot of sexual issues and things like that. So I deal a lot with marriage too. I do a lot of married counseling. That's probably one of the top.
Yeah, you told me before we started recording it was marital issues and addiction issues.
Addiction.
Were your two main areas.
Yeah, and people would say, well, why not anxiety and depression? Well, those are rolled into there. I mean, addiction is a kind of an anxiety. So as I see mental health simply in a way, I view that whole thick book of diagnosis basically as these are neurosis or disorders that are based in anxiety and depression.
Unless you get the addiction issue under control in some way, it's hard to get to the anxiety and depression, which is really the deeper issue.
Yeah, there's the behavioral part of it too, and it's kind of a circular thing. The emotions drive the behaviors, and then the behaviors drive the emotions. Mm-hmm. So addiction is a lot that I work with too. With marriage, I emphasize purpose and process. When people typically come for marriage counseling, they're coming to get the process fixed. And one of the things that I begin to emphasize pretty early on is that if people could agree on what the purpose is, they could probably see where the problems in the process are on their own. But getting people to where they agree on the purpose, if people are at cross purpose, they can't agree on a process. So I do some work there. I do, people who have heard the show before a few times know that I talk a lot about relationships as distances. So I talk about, how we build distance and maintain distance in our marriage, although we don't realize what we're doing there. I've talked about personalities here on the show, and we talk a lot about personalities and personality conflict and disordered personalities in marriage, because that's really the root of a lot of problems. A lot of times we get into sexual issues because that's a lot of people think of that as a barometer in their relationship, which is a wrong emphasis, but there, people can.
But you wouldn't be like a sex therapist. That's not kind of.
No, but that's kind of, I would go down that road. When people talk about a sex therapist, they're really talking to a person who, again, fixing the process, things that you can do in your sexual behavior that brings more reward, or that's if there's past issues of anxiety and depression over that, they can help to address that. And I do a lot of that, but I don't do a lot of talking about how to get better pleasure out of I talk about, you know, the proper role of sex and which is a lot of times why it's going wrong in people's life, or they're using it wrongly. They're using it to patch up arguments instead of understanding one another. So we talk a lot about that sometimes too. And then the individual, again, I've talked about the life coaching a bit, and people say, well, what's the difference between counseling and life coaching? Well, because of the way that I work with people, putting tools in their hands, and I think that's probably what I do more than a lot of other counselors, is that I have tools that I've developed from my own life experience and from working with people. So these are tools that are tried and true. They're not just book learned or ideas or concepts. These are tried and true rules. They tools. They really work, and I teach people tools and handles. And because I do that, all of my counseling eventually becomes coaching. And so people get the tools, and they learn how to use them, and they either perfect them for themselves or hone them so they're more
so
personal.
You sound to me like that you're very directive kind of counselor. You don't just ruminate and let people kind of just just dump, but you really want to find solutions, and here's an action you can take to get better.
Yeah, I would say too that I have in the past had a situation or two where people would come in for one session, and I'm sort of put on the spot. They kind of put the counselor on any counselor has gone through this probably if they've been at it for a while, where someone will come in and say, you know, we're shopping around, we're looking at different counselors, and so give me your best shot. Well, what happens there is you're not really working on their problem. You're trying to sell your product, and then at the end of it, they say, well, it wasn't very personal. Well, it's because I was trying to get my tools out here and show you what. But I do let people emote. That's a big part of counseling. I let them talk. They have to tell their story, and I have to understand their story. But we don't go around in circles a lot. And even with married couples, I say I'm not the coach. I'm not the referee here. If we're going around and around, you're not listening to me. We're trying to fix and move forward. Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of anxiety, depression, and one. I just want to cap it off by saying, you know, how is it Bible based? Mm-hmm. As we've spoken earlier, but the way it's Bible based is that's my foundation. That's the foundation of my life, and that's how I view mental health through a biblical lens. And so a lot of times, Scripture does come up. Mm-hmm. Not all the time. I mean, I've had clients where the Scripture rarely comes up, but it depends really on the person. I have, and not all of my clients are Christians. Most of them are. But one of the things I find is sometimes people have been reading or understanding the Bible wrongly, and I'll give them life examples. And then they come back and the Scripture makes more sense to them. So it's not pastoral counseling or Bible counseling. It's real mental health counseling, but that's my worldview.
That's your worldview. Yeah. That's your compass. Well, that's good to know. Life coach and counselor, Bible-based counselor, Daniel Pryor, getting to know him a little bit better this week. If people are intrigued and they want some help from you, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You'll find this radio show and other podcasts there as well.
Okay, always great stuff. The Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.